Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this post-game edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call as we look back at Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals in the books. Boston draws first blood, 92-88, in a game that really, frankly, was not that close. Boston was in control throughout the course of the game, up by as many as 20 points in the third quarter, had a 17-point lead as late as the fourth quarter, went 5 minutes, was able to go 5 minutes without scoring a basket in the fourth quarter and still won the game. And you never got a sense that Orlando was going to win the game. I know they cut the two with the Dolphins put back off the corner of this free throw, but Orlando was really never in this game. Boston got sloppy in the fourth quarter, got a little complacent, started just, more questionable decisions by Rajon Rondo as far as, him shooting the ball early in the shot clock and, taking this triangle one-on-one. But, again, Boston was in control for the most part from start to finish. And, listen, unless Dwight Howard is going to find a post game between now and Tuesday and for the rest of the series, I don't see how Orlando's going to win the series. I really don't. Now the effect is not have the double team Dwight Howard. But, he was just absolutely a non-factor in this game. I don't know, you look at his numbers, 13 points, 12 rebounds, 7 turnovers in this game. Got frustrated by Rasheed Wallace and also Kendrick Perkins, their defense on him. He's the same player he was last year in the postseason. He looks good when he goes against undersized players who he can overwhelm physically and athletically. But when he goes against quality big men with skill, with some toughness, like the Celtics were last year in the finals, like the Lakers were what they bring to the table, he struggles. I mean, that's all there is to it. And no team with quality big men is going to double team him. Why would you double team him? I mean, they got guys, they got 6 or 7 guys that can make 3-point shots. They're going to stay on, why double team him? Make him score 40 points. There's absolutely no reason to double team him if you're the Boston Celtics, and they're not going to do it until he starts dominating the game from down low with the 30-40-point game. Until that happens, I mean, the Celtics are going to, the Magic are going to be easy to defend. They're easy to defend because all you have to do is stay in front of their 3-point shooters and somewhat handle dribble penetration. They only got, Orlando was 5-22 from 3-point line. Now, they missed a couple of open ones, but for the most part, their 3-point shots were contested shots. Celtics did not, one time Rondo gave Jason Williams an open wide on 5-3, trying to double team on what happened, which was a mistake. But for the most part, Orlando took contested 3-point shots and could not knock them down. And if you're a Celtics, you can live with 45 points out of Nelson and Carter. If Howard's going to give you nothing, if Rashawn Lewis is going to give you nothing, and if the Orlando bench is going to be outplayed by the Boston bench. If you're Orlando, if Howard's not going to dominate, you have to outscore Boston's bench. I mean, you have to dominate that matchup. You can't have Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Boston's bench outplay you. You can't have those two players get off and have Boston's bench outplay and outscore the Orlando bench. Yeah, this can't happen. You figure that Howard is not going to put up the numbers he was able to put up during the regular season against the Celtics. So, somewhere, Sean Lewis, who only has 6 points, and the Orlando bench has got to outplay and outscore Boston's bench. Boston's bench outscored Orlando's bench 25-24, which is unacceptable. I mean, the only guy that was doing something off Orlando's bench was J.J. Redick, who had a pretty good game. Other than that, Wallace, Tony Allen, and Grant Davis clearly outplayed guys like Petrus and Jason Williams and would have had Jason Williams and Gortat and so on. So Orlando's got a lot of work. A lot of work ahead of them. They want to win this series. And, because this was the type of loss that was not just a loss where, You know, we were rusty. No. There was more to it than that. Now, was Orlando sloppy and rusty at the beginning of the game? Yes, they were. But you would have figured that eventually they would have got going in the second half, third quarter. But as this game went along, Boston got stronger, with the exception of late in the fourth quarter. Boston continued to get better as the game went along. And again, Orlando cannot. The problem with Orlando is, and with Dwight Howard not being protective, you know, inside it, they have no offense. They can't score if they're not making 3-point shots. I mean, you get 45 points out of your backcourt and still only score 88 points in the game. Why? Because they can't knock down 3-point shots. If they can't knock down 3-point shots, they can't win. And that is, you know, that is something, you know, you're dependent so much on 3-point shooting through your offense. That is a drawback. That's one of the drawbacks of depending on the 3-point shot. Yes, it looks good when it's going in. You can blow people out. You can overwhelm people. You can get that really out of a game. But when you can't win, when you don't have the ability to win, if your 3-point shot is off, that's a major problem for the Atlanta Magic. Again, you cannot allow both Pierce and Allen to get off. They're going to have to take away Ray Allen because Paul Pierce is headed towards a big series. He really doesn't have anybody to guard him, per se. I mean, that Barnes was not existent. And, you know, I don't know, the backside was probably bothering him. You know, Redick can't guard him. They have nobody else. I mean, Miss Carter can't guard him. So, really, you know, they're going to either Peters is going to have to play more minutes, or they're going to have to start double teaming Ray, Paul Pierce. It's not like the Celtics. The thing about Orlando that bothers you from an Orlando perspective, Celtics didn't play great by any stretch of imagination. I mean, they had some stretches where they made shots. Ray Allen got high, Paul Pierce got high, but Garnett was quiet. Rondo had it, based on how he's been playing, really had a mediocre game. It was okay. Had an average game, but he really wasn't going to explode for a big time game. So you had the two guys who have been your best players in Rondo and Garnett throughout the course of the playoffs. Have average to mediocre games, and you get manhandled in your own home gym. Not the way you want to start off a series if you have championship aspirations, which certainly the Orlando Magic do. That's not the way to start off a series at all. And you saw why those first two scrimmages they played in the first two rounds meant absolutely nothing. Going up against the Boston Celtics. Beating Atlanta and beating Charlotte meant nothing going into this game and in this series. Because it's a whole other level of competition. A whole other level. You're talking about, you know, a championship caliber team versus two teams that between put together would be championship caliber. And I think there's no question that lack of intensity hurt the Orlando Magic in this game, that them not getting challenged, those that playing out, it's not their fault. I mean, you got players in front of you, but it did not help that Orlando came into the series, you know, coming off those two sweeps by beating Atlanta and beating Charlotte and Atlanta. Boston's a whole different type of animal. A whole different type of animal. And Jeff Getty made a great point around the middle part of the game, the third quarter. You can make a case that Boston right now is a favorite to win it all. You can strongly make that case. Especially with Andrew Bynum looking, being ineffective, and maybe who knows how long if he'll be able to even play at all. Still with him, the Lakers all around, but it's not the craziest thing to say in Boston Celtics right now are the team to beat in the 2010 playoffs. I mean, they know how to win. They've been really on the road. They're focused right there. Defensively, they're playing well. Rasheed Wallace is contributing. Tony Allen's been great. You know, Paul Pierce is going to get going now. Orlando has a lot to overcome as far as trying to get themselves tied up in this series. Because I don't think Boston to come in game two and just lay an egg and be like, okay, look at Tech. We just made up 1-0. Or being tied 1-1 with home court. No, I don't expect that at all. They're too locked in right now. But to me, you know, the biggest disappointment in this game was Dwight Howard. I mean, Dwight Howard, you know, he's missing the moment to the officials. He's whining about every getting hit. This is the playoffs. You're going to get a hit. You are 6'11", 270 pounds of muscle. You got to go out there. You have to be more physical. Use your athleticism. You have to have 12. In a game like that, in a game where you're struggling to make shots, you got to get 20 rebounds. 12 rebounds is not enough. You got to block 8 or 9 shots. You can't have 7 turnovers. You got to be more decisive. You got to be more decisive with the kind of passes and decisions you're making with the ball. I mean, Dwight Howard came out and played, you know, he played like a dog in this game. I mean, if Dwight Howard plays well, Orlando probably wins this game. If he has a Dwight Howard type game, he gets you 20 or 25, gets you, you know, 13, 16 rebounds, they probably win this game. Without minus the turnovers, they probably win this game. Because you got what you wanted out of Vince Carter. Vince Carter played very well in this game. He was aggressive. He was he really was the only one for a minute that to act like he had that even had a heartbeat in this game from the Orlando perspective. Orlando was almost sleepwalking, you know, in the first quarter, first half. Carter really was the one, only one with some playing with any type of emotion, any type of passion. So you got what you wanted out of him. You can't expect any more out of Jameer Nelson. Jameer Nelson had 23 points. Had 20 points, and played very well himself. He's not going to dominate Rajon Rondo. I mean, that's going to be a wash in this series. He got the better of Rondo in this particular game by a little bit, but for the most part, you know, that's what you're going to get out of Jameer Nelson. You know, he's going to have a 20 points. He's going to have, you know, 17 to 20 points. 6 or 7, 5 or 6 assists, and that's it. He's not going to dominate the series like he dominated against Charlotte, and also against Atlanta. It's not going to happen. And Rashard Lewis, if Maddie Johnson called him out in the post game, you signed this guy for $100 million, he gets you 6 points. I mean, Rashard Lewis played very well in the postseason last year, especially against the Cavaliers. Played extremely well against the Cavaliers in the postseason. He was on the floor in this particular game. So again, Orlando, don't be fooled by the final score 92-88. The game was not that close. Again, Boston was in control throughout. Boston was the better team throughout. And again, this was with Kevin Garnett and Rajon Rondo having mediocre games. So that's the thing about Boston that impresses you. They don't have to have everybody playing well. I mean, some nights, you know, last series, Paul Pierce wasn't getting off. You had Rondo dominating. You had Kevin Garnett playing well. You know, Ray Allen has basically been steady throughout, with the exception of a game here, a game there. He's basically been consistent. Their bench has picked it up in a big way with Rasheed Wallace and Tony Allen. Tony Allen, that's been, you know, the unknown soldier. He's been big. In the last 3 or 4 games, he played extremely well. Going back to that game 4 of the Cleveland series, he's really, you know, even from his defense, especially, it's surprising from an offensive standpoint. He's giving you 8 to 10 points now over the course of the last 3 or 4 games. So he's going to bring energy off the bench. He's going to go get to the hole, penetrate, and he's played extremely well. But again, Orlando has to, their bench has to dominate Boston's bench. They cannot be close. They definitely cannot be outscored. They'll allow Boston's bench to outscore them. Still to come. We'll get back to the series, take a look ahead of game 2. But we'll go out west and take a look and preview game 1 of the Western Conference Finals as Phoenix takes on the Los Angeles Lakers. Lakers trying to make their third straight NBA Finals appearance. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call post-game show. Game 1 of Orlando Cleveland fans, I didn't mean that. It slipped. I mean, I expect that. It slipped again. It slipped again. We said Cleveland. I'm sorry. That's real. The Cleveland Cavaliers. But everybody's talking about LeBron. I mean, geez. Even when you have LeBron out of playoffs, every second, every ESPN segment is LeBron this, LeBron that, how LeBron affects the economy, the fans, giving insight. That's all that. I mean, can you comment on a little bit? I mean, July 1st isn't going anywhere. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. You got 6 more weeks. Can we bring it down a little bit with the LeBron talk? Just a tad. Can we go a whole ESPN? Can ESPN do a Sports Center without talking about LeBron? At least the Caribbean Finals is over. A little bit. I mean, bring it down just a smidge on the LeBron talk. That talk is not going anywhere anytime soon. Orlando falls to Boston 92-88 in a game that was not as close as the score was shown. Orlando tried to make a late run in the fourth quarter. Redick played well, had some big plays, but they never could make that big 3-point shot that would, put them over the top, pull them even or pull them ahead. Again, Boston controlled this game from start to finish, dominated this game to be from basically start to almost the end of the, midway to the fourth quarter. Game one of the Western Conference Finals will take place tomorrow in Los Angeles. One good thing that television is doing tomorrow, and we're not TV for these start times, these late times, especially on the West Coast. I do give them credit for starting these games early. TNT will start the game at 8, at 9 o'clock, 8 p.m. They're going to have to do an hour pregame, but they will start at 9 p.m. despite the fact they are on the West Coast. So I do give them credit for that. Start these games at 10:30 at night, it's like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. It's impossible unless you do what I do, unless you're doing what I do and have to watch these games and go to work the next day. It's very difficult, so give them credit for that. Start the game at 9 p.m. I don't know. I don't remember them doing that last year. Now, I know ESPN had the Lakers games, had the Western Conference last year. You have to go back and check that. I don't remember them having start times. I remember start times being basically, 10:30. But maybe it was. So I have to go back and check that. But good job by TNT having the start times 9 p.m. just like the fact that on the West Coast. Of course, the big news coming into this series has been, from a Laker perspective, has been the health of Avery Bynum. He says his knee is getting worse. He has a small tear in his meniscus. Listen, I don't know what you do with Bynum. I guess he's going to start anyway. They're going to see the fight. Try to see if they can get 10 to 15 minutes out of him, 15 to 20 minutes. The Lakers don't care how productive Bynum is from a standpoint of they're not worried about him getting 20 or 10, 15 or 10. The Lakers want to play Bynum so that Lamar Owens can come off the bench. That's where they're at at this point in the season with Andrew Bynum with the injury. As long as he's a warm body on the floor and give a couple rebounds, caught in the middle, they don't even care about his scoring. They don't care. They really don't. When you have Paul Gasol, Kobe Bryant, Lamar Owens, they have enough scoring that they can get out without having Andrew Bynum, without needing Andrew Bynum to get up 20 points. Okay. So the important thing is, from a Lakers standpoint, in terms of Andrew Bynum, for him to be on the floor and for them to allow him to come off the bench with Lamar Odom, because the bench is not that strong as it is, and you got to start Lamar Odom, that even weakens the bench even further. Again, we'll see how Bynum is. He killed Phoenix during the regular season, so I'm sure Phoenix is thrilled about that. As far as that series goes, listen. I think this series is the Lakers' series to lose. I don't think Phoenix has enough size to stay with the Lakers. I know Phoenix is playing well, but again, playing against Denver. I mean, playing against Portland, and then playing against San Antonio. And, it's a different type of animal when you're playing against the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers are motivated right now. Like the Boston Celtics, they can sense that they can smell the finals. Kobe Bryant got plenty of time, plenty of rest. He looks like he was getting back into his game, finding his game after struggling against Oklahoma City with some of the shooting. Had, you know, six straight 30-point games. Going back to that Oklahoma City series. Well, excuse me, five straight 30-point games going back to that Oklahoma City series. And, you know, Phoenix just, you know, the problem with Phoenix is, like Orlando, they are dependent. A lot of them winning is dependent on knocking down 3-point shots. The Lakers are one of the best in the league, if not the best in the NBA, at defending the 3-point shot. They do not. Phil Jackson, going up to the Chicago days, has never been a proponent of double teaming. He doesn't believe in it unless you're talking about playing against like LeBron James or somebody like that. He will not double team at all. And in this series, I don't think they don't have to double team anybody for Phoenix in this series. I mean, they're going to play Stoudemire straight up. They're going to play, you know, Nash straight up. They're going to play Jason Rich. All those guys are going to play straight up. You know, Gus Gasson, you figure Stoudemire will have equipment, athleticism, athletic advantage with Gasson as far as when he's on offense. But they'll look to him, you know, he'll back off. They're going to make a Stoudemire finish over 7 foot, finish over length, and they're going to try to make Stoudemire take the 15 to 20 foot jump shooter, which he can make that shot, but you certainly can live with him shooting jump shots rather than dunking on, you know, rather than finishing, you know, with dunks at the basket. And again, if Phoenix cannot make 3-pointers, they don't have any chance in the series. Phoenix is going to, I'm still not completely sold on Phoenix as a defensive team all of a sudden. I know they play, they can prove defensively, but again, they have not faced a post player in these playoffs at the caliber of Paul Gasol. I mean, that's all there is to it. Tim Duncan is late in his career. He's not, you know, he's not as good as Paul Gasol right now, certainly. And they're going to have to double team Gasol as they have no choice but to double team Gasol, which should create shots for the Lakers. I just cannot see the Lakers losing to the Phoenix Suns. I think Phoenix has gone as far as they can go. You know, think about how many, you know, it's really amazing how far Phoenix has made it, considering how many times this team almost got broken up. I mean, they almost got broken up. Like last year, you know, there was questions about them resigning Steve Nash. You know, should they just let him go? Rebuild, start to rebuild the process early. They resigned to the contract, I believe it was two years. Resigned him, you know, he gets 2 years, $24 million, something to that extent. Did all the trades, got a butt with Amari Stoudemire. Stoudemire, and, you know, everybody thought he was headed towards possibly, you know, Miami or Chicago or even Cleveland for that matter. He stays put, plays great down the stretch, and, make that run. And I think they're going to go as far as they can go with this particular group. And to me, they're just facing a team. This is not a good matchup for Phoenix, and they're facing a focused Lakers team right now. I would say Lakers in six. I would say Lakers in six, but it would not surprise me if the Lakers came out and defeated and took Phoenix out 5 games. I think, you know, Phoenix will have moments in the series, scoring-wise, where they can give Lakers some problems, but I think the Lakers are just locked in right now, similar to what Boston is. They certainly can sense the NBA, you know, they can, you know, kind of sniff and smell the championship, smell, you know, being in the NBA Finals. And don't discount the revenge factor. Remember, the last team in the Western Conference to beat the Lakers were the Phoenix Suns back in 2007 against now a completely different Lakers team from the standpoint of no Paul Gasol, Ron Artest, you know, you had those two players not being on the team. A younger Andrew Bynum that really wasn't effective at that point in his career. So totally different team, totally different Lakers team than the last time Phoenix played the Lakers. Plus, Nash, you look at it, you break it down a lot, you know, Nash has been in Phoenix 6 years now. The first 3 years, he really killed the Lakers, including those two playoff series. But the last 3 years, Nash has really struggled against the Lakers, against their length, their athleticism. So keep your eye on that. Again, I expect a 6-game series, and I expect the Lakers to win the series in 6 games, if not five, but I'll just say six. I do like the way Phoenix is playing. It's very interesting to see who Ray Hill will National Guard. You have to think that he'll see a lot of time on combined, but we'll see how that plays out. You know, Jason Richardson. I think you have to put Grant Hill. I think you have to just sacrifice Grant Hill's offense and just say, hey, go out there and try to go against Kobe Bryant as much as you can. We don't care if you score, because I don't think that it's asking way too much for Richardson to have to score and they have to go out Kobe Bryant. I don't think he's capable of doing that. He struggled against the Lakers over the course of the regular season. Of course, this is not the same Jason Richardson that played in the regular season. He's playing much better right now. But to me, you need Jason Richardson to score between 18 to 20 points at night in order for Phoenix to have any shot or any chance to win the series. So I think you'll see a heavy dose of Van Hill on Kobe Bryant. So we will have a look ahead at Game 2 at the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals, as Orlando will try to even things up, tell you what Orlando needs to do to get back in this series. Welcome back, and on this final segment of the Saturday morning wake-up call, this post-game edition, Game 1 Eastern Conference Finals in the books, Boston 92, Orlando 88. Game 2 will be on Tuesday night in Orlando. Again, must win for Orlando, as that is true. They cannot fall 2 games to nothing down to Boston, and then head back to the Garden, the Boston Garden, or the new Boston Garden. I think Orlando will come out with a big effort. They certainly will come out much better than what they did in the first half of this game. But the question to me is, what do you do with Dwight Howard? I mean, if you're Orlando, you hope if Howard is not making shots down low, not getting good looks, you just go strictly to a pick and roll offense to where you try to free up dribble penetration or try to free up the 3-point shots. But do you stay pounding the ball to Howard and just hope that he, can get easy looks, can get good position down low? That's gonna be a question they're gonna have to answer probably in the first quarter of game 2. Dwight Howard just has to come out and just dominate. I mean, he has to come out, even if he's not scoring, he has to dominate the ball. He has to get, 20, 25 rebounds. He has to block 8 to 10 shots. He has to go out there and just dominate the paint. Even if he's not scoring, he has to get, how many dunks do you have in this game? I don't think he had a dunk. He might have one dunk. I don't believe that Dwight Howard had a dunk in this game. So they have to get him some alley-oops. They have to get him, Dwight Howard has to, they have to get out in the open. Orlando cannot beat the Celtics in a half-court game because, frankly, the Celtics have far more, they have way too many weapons and way too many options in a half-court game than Orlando has. Orlando, you have Jameer Bassett making off-dribble penetration, going against a set defense. You have Vince Carter going against a set defense. You have Dwight Howard going against a set defense. So they have to get out in transition and get Howard some dunks, some layups, so he can get his confidence going down low. Again, you're stepping around to come out with a much better effort than they did, with much sharpener than they did in game 1. So we'll see what happens. I'm definitely looking forward to this game 2 on Tuesday. It'll be on ESPN around 8:30. Of course, game 1 tomorrow of the Western Conference Finals will be on TNT, 8 o'clock, pregame, 9 o'clock game time. Looking forward to it. Can't wait as we kick off the conference finals. I will see you when I see you. Stay tuned. Hit me up at twitter.com/WilliamZero. Also at facebook.com/SurrealQuinn. See you when I see you. So long, and enjoy the rest of your night.